Questions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome to Growing Up in America with Dr. Charles Nozicka. In the next hour, Dr. Nozicka and his guests examine the issues facing this generation of children and teens. Grab a pencil and turn up your speakers. Here's your host, Dr. Charles Nozicka.
Welcome to Growing Up in America today. I'm Dr. Charles Nozicka, and we have been talking over the last several weeks about how kids today grow up in a much different world than when I grew up and most of their parents have grown up. Kids have much more issues with stress, time management, their lives are much more scheduled, and even their playtime and recreational activities are now regimented and scheduled at a very early age. Today we're going to talk about keeping our children focused, not overloaded, overworked, or overwhelmed, and we're going to talk mainly about adolescents today. Today's program will be both for parents of teenagers, and the preteens. Today we're talking with Annie Fox, the author of several books for teenagers. One of the books is titled Too Stressed to Think, A Teenage Guide to Staying Sane When Life Makes You Crazy. And the other book is The Teen Survival Guide to Dating and Relating, Real World Advice on Guys and Girls Growing Up and Getting Along. Annie Fox has published several books since her first book was published in 1971, People Are Like Lollipops. She's been involved in working with kids, creating product for them, including stories, lesson plans, computer games, websites. She was the founder of The Insight, which is a web-based website specifically targeted for teenagers, and you can access that. We'll be talking about that today at www.theinsight.org, and it includes the Hey Tara relationship advice section for teens. The Hey Tara advice column's popularity has been incredible, and it isn't specifically set up for teenagers who are having issues about growing up in America today. Annie can be contacted through her website at www.heytara.com. We're going to be talking about that today, her website, and specifically about how growing up in America today is different for teens and preteens, how we can keep these teenagers sane and focused in a world that overloads them, overworks them, and often overwhelms them. We'll also open the phone lines later and take calls from both parents and teens regarding this important issue. Annie, welcome to Growing Up in America today.
Thanks, Chuck.
Let's talk a little bit about how growing up is different than when you or I grew up, perhaps 40 years ago. What do you think is the major differences that that kids have to face today that we didn't really face?
Well, I think the world is a lot speedier and a lot noisier than it was when we grew up. That's one main thing. And the other, which plays into it, is the fact that there aren't as many adults around, and so they don't have the kind of adult support that we had. So if you think about it in terms of stimulus, of having themselves plugged into their friends all the time with their cell phones, text messaging, in and out, that kind of thing, instant messaging on computers, their lives are fragmented in a lot of ways. And I don't know about you, but when I'm interrupted a lot, I get a little cranky. And it seems to me that there is a bombardment of a media, as well as their own self-created communications with their friends. That's jarring on the nerves and the nervous system. The other part is that not having adults around, after school, being so scheduled so they are literally on the go from 6:30 in the morning when their alarm clock rings to maybe 8 or 8:30 when they come home after practice at the end of a really, really long day, everybody seems to be spinning in their own agenda, and there's not a lot of connection. Even though it seems like they are talking to their friends all the time, they don't have that downtime, which gives them an opportunity to regroup. Really different than when we were growing up.
Now, you are an educator by training.
Yes.
And you've been working with kids for decades now.
That's true. I have a 26-year-old daughter at this point and a 21-year-old son. So I've been through the teen years and just kind of feel in some ways like an anthropologist as I mine this culture of adolescence. It's fascinating to me.
You know, when we grew up 30 or 40 years ago, whatever it may be, the big issue in the media was television. We may have watched a couple hours a day of television, and that was seen as groundbreaking at that time. That was really, really a lot of television. Now some of these kids spend 7, 8, 9 hours in front of a monitor, television, video game. How has that changed the way kids are processing information?
Well, on a positive note, they're very good at focusing on homework, even when there's a whole lot of other stuff going on around them. I remember when my son was in high school, I would often walk into his room and, you know, there'd be music playing, he'd be instant messaging, and at the same time studying for his AP physics exam, which he did really, really well. And I couldn't possibly tax my brain on that level and succeed probably in any one of the things that he was doing at that moment very well. And yet, they're able to do that. So, you know, I'd say that's good. That's
the multitasking, I would have to agree with you. My kids are the same way. It's like there's all kinds of stuff going on, and, you know, my daughter's writing Spanish papers and doing that kind of stuff, and I'm astounded at their ability to be able to multitask like that. That's true.
So that part's good. In terms of the way they process information, I think what they're not so good at, because we don't role model it very well these days, is human interaction, really talking and listening. It's very low tech.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why it doesn't work so well. But no one seems to have a lot of time to make eye contact, to actually stop doing all the other stuff and really listen and express themselves and have a real communication on a parent-child level.
Do you think we, as a couple of reasons probably, but do you think we as parents don't model that behavior well, or that we just accept that, you know, these kids are multitasking? And, you know, years ago when we were growing up, there wasn't that many things to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember my parents, you know, we always would address adults by, you know, Mr. or Mrs. We would always make good eye contact, shake their hands, and that was really stress, the social skills.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem to be a stress nowadays, and why do you think that is?
Well, to answer your question, yes, I do think part of the fault is that the adults don't role model this. They don't put it as a high priority. So social skills are not all that important. But again, I come back to how overscheduled most adults seem to be. So if you don't have enough time within your own family to stop and make eye contact and talk to your teenager, then it seems to me that what you're saying is, you don't really mean this, but the message they're getting is, my parents don't listen, my parents don't really care, my parents don't have time for me.
Mm-hmm.
As parents, of course, that's not the case. We don't really feel that way. But what other message are our kids supposed to pick up when, in fact, they might come to us, have something on their mind? You know, it's not going to be easy for them to talk about it, whatever it is, but it's going to be a lot harder if you're doing a million things and you're just going, uh-huh, uh-huh, and they know you're not listening, and so they give up. And it's so interesting because I do a lot of parent education events as well, and the number one complaint of parents is that they think their kids don't listen to them, when it's exactly what the kids are saying. My parents don't listen. So no one's listening.
Nobody's listening. Nobody's taking the time. We've had many experts on this show in the last couple months that really, really said the same thing, maybe not quite as direct as you have, but that we need to take time with the kids. We need to listen and actually really listen to hear what they say and respond to it.
Yeah.
We don't take that time. Now, you have the opportunity. You interact with a lot of kids. You have the Hey Tarot website,
mm-hmm.
and you also have the Insight.
Right.
Tell me a little bit about the Insight website and why it was set up.
Well, it's an interesting little story. Back in the fall of 1996, I can't believe it's almost 10 years, at that time my daughter was a senior in high school, my son was a sixth grader, and I was designing software for kids. That was my freelance job, and I loved it. But every day at 2:30, I volunteered to be the afternoon carpool mom because I wanted to go out into the real world, get away from my computer, and I wanted to be with kids. Because those are the ones I was designing my software for, so it's kind of like mingling with your target audience. And somewhere around November of that year, I realized that the girls in the carpool who were seniors, their conversation had shifted to colleges because they were graduating, they were filling out applications and all of that stuff, and it just hit me in a really direct way that a year from now, those girls would not be in the back of my carpool. They would be on the next chapter of their lives. And I realized how much I was going to miss not only my wonderful daughter and her friends, but the kinds of conversations that we had as an ongoing basis in that carpool. A lot of advice giving. They trusted me. They knew me well. And they included me. And I was a mentor to the girls in the carpool. So that night, I literally had a dream of creating a virtual carpool online.
Okay.
Which is the kind of the origin of the insight.org. It was to be a place where kids could come and get information about growing up, anything that they needed to become fully functioning, socially responsible adults. And I spent the next 9 months developing the site. And the Heytera character was really kind of a way to give kids online a chance to ask questions to a trusted adult, and that's how it worked.
And how long ago did you develop that?
That launched in June of 1997.
Okay.
Still going strong.
And about how many visitors do you have to that website yearly?
Let's say we have about 30,000 hits a month on the site.
Okay.
And that's really from around the world.
Okay. Now, part of that website is your advice column.
That's right. Hey, Tara.
Right. And so you're talking to dozens of kids, would you say, a day? Or?
Yeah, I'd say that's about right. And they ask all kinds of questions, and they're very respectful. They're very appreciative of mm-hmm. the response they get. And I have to admire them. It's really a leap of faith because they don't know when they click on the button to send their question who's on the other end or whether they'll get a response.
Mm-hmm.
But I take the responsibility very seriously.
Okay. I would invite our listeners to go to The Insight. It's www.theinsight.org. And when we come back from break, we'll be talking with Annie about the insight and how teens are different today as they grow up. We'll be back in a few minutes with Growing Up in America Today.
Real Life Solutions, Voice America Health and Wellness.
Introducing Alexian Brothers Hospital Network's Centers of Excellence, bringing you medical innovations in neurosciences and oncology, surgical breakthroughs in cardiovascular services and orthopedics, pioneering programs in rehabilitation and behavioral health, and superior care for older adults and in pediatrics. The Alexian Centers of Excellence, part of Alexian Advanced Medicine.
Ever seen a hornet, Shelly?
No, ma'am.
Oh, well, you're five. What are you waiting for? They've built a nest outside your window. See?
No.
You will when you climb 15 feet up this ladder to get rid of them. Take this insecticide and broom and send those stinging meanies packing.
What if I fall? I could get hurt.
Oh, you know about gravity already. You're so smart. Oh, go, 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 go. The hornets are waiting.
Shoot, get away.
Scream at them, dear. Hornets hate high-pitched noises. Try not to swallow too many.
Get away!
Knock that nest out of the park.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seat belts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
I can't see! Are they biting me?
Oh, that's so cute. No, honey, hornets don't bite, silly. They sting.
Ow!
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
When you combine energy secrets from ancient China and the latest breakthroughs in medicinal science, you get power healing with Dr. Shaw. Heard every Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Health and Wellness. Each week, Dr. Shaw will bring you another step closer to the expanding world of body space medicine. You will quickly learn and appreciate how power healing is a perfect alternative to hospitals and expensive drugs. Take a step beyond modern medicine every Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time with Dr. Shaw on Power Healing, right here on Voice America Health and Wellness.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome back to Growing Up in America with Dr. Charles Nozicka. If you have a question or comment, dial toll-free at 1-866-369-3742. Now back to the show. Here's Dr. Nozicka.
Welcome back to Growing Up in America. Today we're talking with Annie Fox, an educator, mother, teenage advocate, designer of theinsight.org website. And right now, I invite all of our listeners to go to theinsight.org because we're going to talk a little bit about what this website is. This is really a very interesting place that I think teenagers can find a lot of information about a lot of different things. I'm looking at the website now, and there's a section here, Annie, that talks about me, myself, and I, relationships. That seems like logical things that you want to talk about, self-image with teenagers, things like that. Tell me a little bit about, though, the important things about knowing yourself, knowing your body, knowing your mind, especially for an adolescent.
And especially as it relates to stress. I'm glad you asked me that. Kids hear the word stress all the time, and people use it, and, I'm so stressed out. But what they have little experience focusing in on is how stress makes them feel physically and emotionally. And I try to teach them to turn a magnifying glass in on their own stress response so that they become more tuned into the actual clues before they lose it and do something that they will regret. There is a period of time when it's kind of building up. And so for them to understand, okay, when I feel stressed out, my heart beats faster. That's true for everybody. My breathing is tending to become faster and more shallow. I may have kind of a queasy feeling in my stomach. The muscles around my neck and shoulders may start tensing up. Behaviorally, they're absolutely going to notice that they are likely to become more irritable, short-tempered. They snap more easily at people. They fail to see the humor in things. They may become more sensitive to a comment, which normally they just laugh off. When they can understand these are for me, my symptoms that I'm stressing out, then they're in a much, much better place to actually take control of what's going on. As I tell the kids when I talk to them in student assemblies, if you imagine that a stress response is kind of like being pulled along or being in a vehicle where nobody's in the driver's seat and you're rushing towards the edge of a cliff, you want to make sure you put the brakes on before you go over, because if you go over the cliff, you're very likely to do something you will later regret. So it's really good to tune in to the warning signs so that you can get your foot on the brake.
And we're talking about how much more stress a lot of teenagers, adolescents, and even preteens have nowadays. And we can talk about probably for the entire hour why that is with time management and, pressure to perform for school and college. When I was growing up, much smaller percent of the population worried about college. If they were going to college, it really wasn't that stress. Now we're worried about, picking the proper daycare and preschool to get our kids into the right colleges. So these kids are under tremendous stress. And you go out and you talk to these kids at assemblies, and are they aware of how much stress they're under? Are their parents aware how much stress there is out there?
Well, normally what I do is I send a stress survey in advance of my going to the school. So
okay.
The kids get like 10 or 12 questions that are anonymous. And so, you know, I tell them in the introduction, this isn't a test. There are no right or wrong answers. So don't stress about taking it. But it gives me a snapshot of where they're at as a school. And so then when I come in to do the assembly, I will use that as a jumping-off place for them. And some of the comments that I get from them are totally heartbreaking. I mean, for example, I will ask the question, what does the word stress mean to you? Because it is used so much in this language in this day and age that I want them to actually think about it. And I get responses like lots of pressure. It's when I want to stop everything and play or sleep. Stress means being scared, anxious, and afraid. It's feeling like a lion is roaring in your heart. Unbearable worrying, uncontrollable rage. And these are from 6th and 7th graders. Now, that's heavy duty.
Yeah, that's really scary. My first thought about that is, well, what are we doing to our kids? You know, why are we doing this to them?
Yeah, why are we doing this to them? And in some way, it's not us personally, but there are opportunities we as parents miss in ways of making this easier for them and giving them more tools to be able to cope. And so on the insight, I help kids focus in on who they are, how they can get a better sense of what's normal feels like to them, how to de-stress by reaching out to friends, to know where their support system is, and to be true to their own values, which is it's a huge one for middle schoolers especially, knowing who you are and what you stand for, listening to your inner voices. But you don't allow yourself to get pushed and pressured into doing things just to get other people to like you.
Now, 30,000 visits a month, you know, 12 to 20 emails a day, do you see kind of the same recurring themes, or is there a lot of variability out there?
Well, there's a lot of variability in the permutations of the things that are stressing them out. Just mm-hmm. when you thought you had heard every permutation of how do I get this person to like me.
Okay.
But what seems to be a recurring theme, and I think this is interesting, is that about 80% of the kids who email me fictitiously sign their emails with the word confused. You know, they don't write their real name, so they say, you know, this is what's going on, I don't know what to do. Please help. Signed, confused. And you know, I sometimes take these emails. They're anonymous. So I take them to student assemblies again. I will read one to a group of 500 kids sitting in bleachers. And I'll say to them, okay, I just got this one. If this was a friend of yours, what advice would you give him? And I read the email. And the kids are great. They know exactly what to say. Say, oh, well, you know, he could do this, he could do this. And they'll have like five or six options in less than a minute of really good options of what the letter writer could do. And I said, this is great. So can you tell me, the kid who wrote the email, why could he not think of one of these options? And the kids in the bleachers are very clear. They said, oh, well, we thought of it because it's not our problem. And I say to them, and what happens when it is your problem? And they go, well, then we get really confused. And that's the crux of it. That is the general theme that goes through all of my emails. They're not thinking straight. They can't. They can't think straight when they're stressed, which is why we call the book Too Stressed to Think. And that's getting them into a lot of trouble.
So they basically, they just kind of burn out, or they stop thinking clearly.
They stop thinking clearly because the way the brain is structured is that in a real true life emergency, the adrenaline starts pumping and you react. You react by getting yourself to a place of safety.
Right.
That works great when the building's on fire. But when the problem is that you've been given a history term paper to write, and over the next 4 weeks you're going to be stressing about it, and not thinking clearly about how to manage your time, et cetera, et cetera, it's not a good way to function.
And what's some of the advice that you give to these kids? I mean, there's different stressors in life. There's,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's the usual ones, you know, relationships, you know, learning about our own sexuality as you go through adolescence, learning, you know, going from childhood to adulthood with more responsibilities. But there's also, you know, media stressors and emotional stressors. Mm-hmm. And can you tell me a little bit about the different stressors and what kind of tools can we give our kids?
Sure. Well, there are four basic stressors. You know, the one is what we might call the environmental stressor. It's the noise outside as they're fixing your street.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, and it's there. Environmental stressor could be pollution. It's something in the environment that's kind of out there. Then you've got a physical stressor like you're running around the track and you sprain your ankle. Ow! That pain right there, that moment, that's a physical stressor. Being sick, getting the flu, that's a physical stressor. Then you've got more the kind that has to do with behavioral stuff, and you've got an emotional stressor. Say, for example, you were hoping that this guy would invite you to the dance, but instead he asked your best friend. Ouch, that hurts. That's an emotional stressor. It happens, and chances are pretty good you'll get over it. Psychological stressors are the ones that are the most impactful. Those start out probably to be emotional stressors, but then they just don't get resolved. They are unexpressed emotions that stay with you for a really, really long time, and they, in fact, not only stress you out, but they start changing the way you think about yourself, your options in life, your abilities. They do a major number on your self-esteem if they're not resolved. Bullying is one of those, psychological stressor. So you ask what kind of advice I give. My general advice is actually for kids to, first of all, recognize when they're stressed. Calm down. Take a deep breath. Whatever it works for you, you need to calm down. When you calm down, you actually slow your heart rate down, and in that way your brain goes, oh, I guess the house isn't really on fire. So in that way you're able to think more clearly again. But the major piece of advice here is to look at the problem and say to yourself, what can I control about this and what can't I control?
Mm-hmm.
And kids really respond to this because it's so clear-cut. So if, for example, your boyfriend broke up with you and you really are stressing about it and you want him to want you again, then I say to the kids, okay, I understand how you feel. This is painful. But what can you control about this situation? Can you, in fact, change how he feels about you? Can you get him to change the way he thinks about you, change the way he behaves towards you? Do you have that kind of control and power? And they have to admit, after they get over that, well, yeah, can I give him a love potion or something? They have to admit that, no, they really don't have any control over what other people think, what they say, or what they do. Now, most of the time, we stress over things that we have no control over. Kids and adults alike, when they can realize, ah, okay, I get zero control in that arena, but I do have 100% control over the choices I make, then all of a sudden things that were overwhelming and seem to have no end in sight, you can actually start strategizing a plan.
Very good. Well, we'll be going to break, Annie, and we'll be back with you in a second on Growing Up in America. We're talking about kids growing up under stress and how we can help them to make better choices. We'll be back in a few minutes on Growing Up in America Today.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Introducing Alexian Brothers Hospital Network's Centers of Excellence, bringing you medical innovations in neurosciences and oncology, surgical breakthroughs in cardiovascular services and orthopedics, pioneering programs in rehabilitation and behavioral health, and superior care for older adults and in pediatrics. The Alexian Centers of Excellence, part of Alexian Advanced Medicine.
women, do you feel that you're too old to be active, too old to be beautiful, too old to have fun, or too old to be fabulous? Well, if that's what you think, then there's good news for you. You're wrong. Tune in to Voice America every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Aging Outside the Box, Fabulous Women Over 50 with Shirley Mitchell. Aging Outside the Box is a fabulous, fun program that gives you every reason to feel greater than you ever have. Host Shirley Mitchell and O.E. Cruiser Small will cover phenomenal topics such as women's issues, health, diet, exercise, nutrition, faith, travel, and many other concerns for women of all ages. Feel young, feel smart, and feel fabulous by tuning in to Aging Outside the Box. Fabulous Women Over 50 with Shirley Mitchell every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on VoiceAmerica.com.
If suddenly you're numb or weak on one side, limb, or face,
it could be a stroke. Get help. Don't wait.
Maybe it's a loved one suddenly slurring their speech or dizzy.
Call 911 and get medical help quickly.
Blacks have a higher occurrence. Do you want to know more?
Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org. Time lost is brain lost.
A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Are you tired of being tired? Are you sick of sitting around while life passes you by? You can get back on track by tuning in to Voice America Health and Wellness every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time for Attracting Abundance, the Energy of Success with Carol Look. Attracting Abundance is the program that empowers you to finally break through your limiting beliefs and blocks and shows you how to succeed in all areas of your life, from improved financial abundance, health and weight problems, as well as your relationships. Don't wait another week to be joyful. Listen to Attracting Abundance, the Energy of Success with Carol Look, this Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Real Life Solutions, Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome back to Growing Up in America with Dr. Charles Nozicka. If you have a question or comment, dial toll-free at 1-866-369-3742. Now back to the show. Here's Dr. Nozicka.
Welcome back to Growing Up in America. And a few things. I'd like to, our number to call in is 1-866-472-5792 today. We're talking with Annie Fox, and we're talking about stressors and teenagers growing up in a much more stressed world than we did. And before the break, Annie, we began to talk a little bit about Too Stressed to Think, your book. Tell me a few examples, and I'm sure the book is very interesting, and you probably did a lot of research for this, but there's a lot of examples of kids that just make poor decisions. They're good kids. They come from good families, but they make poor decisions because they're under stress and they just can't handle it at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Examples. Well, this survey that I was talking to you about earlier, one of the questions was, describe a time when you were stressed out and did something that you later regretted.
Mm-hmm.
I got responses like this. I yelled at my parents for no reason. I pushed someone. I punched my wall. I was so stressed I made myself think. I made myself sick. I got into a fight with my best friend, and now we don't talk. I cheated on a test. I betrayed someone. I lost my virginity to a guy I didn't even know. I put a knife through a hamster. Yeah, we got a range of thoughtless acts there. But what it tells me is that kids need to know that one of the options always available to them is to not decide at the moment. To just say, you know what? My head is spinning, and I'm going to take a break and not make a decision right now. That would be so much healthier than moving forward with no brain in place.
And is that because they just haven't had the experience of making tough decisions, do you think? Or what can we do as parents to let them know that that is an option, that you don't have to make that decision at that moment?
Well, part of the reason, the new brain research is showing that the adolescent brain is still under construction, and the part of the brain that is able to predict the consequence of one's actions is still under construction. So take stress away, and you've got an adolescent brain that's really not very good at saying, if I do this, this is most likely to happen. If you add stress to that adolescent brain, then the chances of them being able to think through options and possible and realistic consequences of each option goes down tremendously. So, yes, there's that. They're in situations that are way beyond their ability to make good decisions, and those situations are high-risk situations for them. So there's not a lot of wiggle room. If, for example, two 14-year-olds are in a situation where they are unsupervised and it's very likely that there may be drugs or alcohol involved, whatever, and the potential for having unprotected sex comes up, that's a situation the two 14-year-olds, as far as I'm concerned, should not be in. And the fact that they are in that situation at age 14 is sure to lead to something that is going to be regrettable and possibly life-altering.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm a pediatric emergency physician, and unfortunately part of my practice is seeing just those life-altering events, car crashes, driving under the influence, unprotected sex, overdoses, and these kids come from very good families, and they're just make a poor decision. And I think you're so very right that they need to know that they do have the tools to back off and really think about these things.
Right. So the book is very much about this is what stress is. This is how you normally react, and every human being reacts this way. And here are a whole bunch of real good tools that you can use whenever you feel stressed out. And one of them is always to stop and take a break.
Yeah, and I think it's very important, your point about, you know, teenagers don't know about their bodies. They don't know why they're feeling the way they do. And I think by empowering them the way you do, with letting them know your heart rate goes up, you're going to breathe faster, you're going to feel jittery, mm-hmm. you might feel nauseous, you have a headache, that's normal. And when you feel that, this is what you need to do.
Exactly, and it's a huge gap in their education. I mean, we tell them how to take care of themselves in so many other ways as parents. You know, when you're cold, put on an extra layer. When you're thirsty, that means you're dehydrated. You know, all kinds of, when you're cranky and sleepy, you need to take a nap. But we tell them nothing about stress, and we really ought to be educating them in this area and educating ourselves, too, to become more aware of it. Too many of us just keep pushing ourselves forward when the best thing we could do is stop and take a break.
You list about six or seven other tools for this. I'm looking through your book now.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I really enjoyed about your book is that you have these little sections called Taking It to the Real World.
Mm-hmm.
And you give them, you know, perfect examples that they can relate to. It's not, you know, you don't speak over their head, you don't speak under them, you speak right to them, and you have them take it right to the real world. What are some of the other tools, though, that we can give our kids to deal with stress?
Well, I think the best thing we could probably do as parents is to role model good stress management skills ourselves.
Okay.
How about that?
Exactly.
because even if we don't make a point of saying to them, and this is what you do when you're stressed, they're watching us anyway. And they're internalizing what they're seeing. And if you're the kind of person who needs to go to a meeting and is running around like a crazy person screaming, "Where are my keys? Where are my keys?" Well, they're watching.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
If you lose your temper and, you know, regretful things come out of your mouth towards the people in your family who you love most in the world, they're watching. So that would be the first tool, is to show them how a mature adult deals with the stressors in life. Because, you know, the stresses aren't going away. You can't control those bumps in the road. They're going to happen. But we certainly can do a much better job teaching our kids how to respond to them effectively and maturely and responsibly. That would be the first one.
Okay.
I'd say the other one is to teach all kids how to breathe.
You laugh, but I'm laughing because as an ER physician, you would not believe how many teenagers just something simple like hyperventilation. They come in all the time with hyperventilation, which is the extreme of not being able to control their breathing.
Yeah.
So go ahead. Tell me about this a little bit, though, because it'll help me in my practice.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Now, and I want everybody who's listening to do this as well. What you're going to do is you're going to hopefully get yourself in a comfortable position and close your eyes. If you can, hopefully you don't have a cold, because I'm going to ask you to breathe through your nose. I want you to take a slow inhalation through your nose. And then exhale slowly through an open mouth. Ah. Let's do it again. Inhale slowly through your nose. Exhale slowly through your mouth. This is called a recentering breath. It's from the yoga tradition. And people have been using this recentering breath for over 5,000 years to simply calm down. If you get into a habit of doing this, you will actually notice that those thoughts that run through your brain all the time start quieting down and slowing down. And when you're stressed, if you can remember to stop and breathe, you're going to lower your heart rate by doing a recentering breath, which is going to be great because that's going to help you calm down and actually start to think more clearly. What should I do at this moment in time? What's my next best move? So the recentering breath, as I describe it to kids in student assemblies, is simple. You're really off center when you're stressed. It's as if you were standing on one leg, you'd start to wobble. If you leaned over, you'd really start to wobble, and to help you to keep yourself from falling, you'd immediately put your foot back on the ground. When you're stressed, it's the equivalent psychologically of being on one foot, only except you don't know that you're on one foot. So when you recognize those other signs, like maybe the queasy stomach or the fast heart rate, you say to yourself, "Ah, I'm off center. I'm off balance. I need to stop and take some recentering breaths." And that really works.
And you go out and you teach these techniques to the children during assemblies?
I do. It's usually the last thing I do. And then I have something called the breathing challenge, which I will put out there to all of your listeners. The breathing challenge is simply this. Sometime between now and when you go to sleep tonight, chances are that you'll get stressed out at least one time. Something will feel a little like, not right. I challenge you to remember what you're hearing me say right now. Remember to stop at that moment and to take a few recentering breaths. You'll notice an incredible difference between what you would have done had you preceded, or now that you've breathed and calmed down, you're going to choose something different.
Well, very good. I'm relaxed now.
Good.
And we will be back in a few minutes with Annie Fox. We're talking about dealing with stress in the teenage years. But a lot of this information is important for all of us. We'll be back in about 3 minutes on Growing Up in America Today with Annie Fox. Stay with us.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Introducing Alexian Brothers Hospital Network's Centers of Excellence. Bringing you medical innovations in neurosciences and oncology, surgical breakthroughs in cardiovascular services and orthopedics, pioneering programs in rehabilitation and behavioral health, and superior care for older adults and in pediatrics. The Alexian Centers of Excellence, part of Alexian Advanced Medicine.
Tune in to Health Crusades with John Farley every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Health Crusades seeks to enhance one's lifestyle, physical, mental, emotional, financial, and intellectual empowerment. Your host, John Farley, the author of Living Lean and the creator of the revolutionary Sleep Slim Weight Management System, brings expert guests to inform and entertain you each week. A live healing circle is also provided for those facing life-challenging health issues. That's Health Crusades with John Farley every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Stay mentally, physically, and emotionally fit with Younger Every Day. Hosted by Dr. Bob Payson. Broadcast every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Younger Every Day will offer you alternative solutions for a variety of health issues, all backed by clinical, scientific, and medical data. Dr. Payson and other expert guests will inform and inspire people of all ages to look and feel better. Younger Every Day. Think clear. Feel strong. Grow Younger with Dr. Bob Payson, right here on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Steps to a Healthier You. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome back to Growing Up in America with Dr. Charles Nozicka. If you have a question or comment, dial toll-free at 1-866-369-3742. Now back to the show. Here's Dr. Nozicka.
Hi, welcome back to Growing Up in America today. Today we're speaking with Annie Fox, and we're talking about stress in the teenage years and stress as we grow up. And a couple things that I want to reiterate that were very, very helpful is just the breathing technique you just taught us all, but the whole idea of modeling excellent behavior for our kids. You know, I think we can tell our kids a million times, don't do that, don't do that, but if they see us drinking and driving, if they see us losing our temper, if they see us with road rage, you know, they model our behavior. Just one action is worth 10,000 lessons that we want to tell them verbally. I think that is so important. Before the break, we talked a little bit too, Annie, about some breathing techniques, and we were talking a little bit about yoga. And you told me during the break that you do some assemblies and you do some workshops with Girl Scouts, and that you introduce yoga techniques as young as fourth graders.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And do they are they receptive to that? Do they remember those techniques?
It's hard to know. Most of the workshops are you know, just a one-time workshop where I might meet with the girls for 3 hours, and it's not 3 hours of yoga. But I think that what they do remember is that it feels good to stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And we know physiologically that there's a buildup of all kinds of pain-inducing things in your muscles when they're contracted. And so stretching does feel good. It also forward bends, slow down your brain. It's like all kinds of stuff. So the idea that there is kind of a physical equivalent to calming down, not just talking about conflict resolution, but actually resolving some of the kinks in your body, makes it more real for them.
Very good. Throughout our show, we've been talking for the last few weeks about many of the issues that affect kids and teenagers, especially the media. And we talk a lot about media impact on our kids as they grow up today. And a lot of them are negative. We talked with Jean Kilborn about some of the issues of image for women and girls as they grow up, and images for boys, how they have to fit into a stereotype. I want to talk a little bit about some of the positive impact of media, and specifically about the web and your website here, theinsight.org. And as we look at the website, there's a lot of sections here in the left menu here. One is Spaceship Earth, and I'm assuming that you guys are not Star Trek enthusiasts or anything like that. Maybe explain a little bit about what the kids are finding on Spaceship Earth.
Mm-hmm. Spaceship Earth is a section of the Insight that's all about environmental activism. The overriding theme of the Insight is that you can take charge of your life. And the idea is that what we can unleash here is the power to make the world and our own personal corner of it a saner, more equitable, more just place to live. Now, if your corner of it happens to be you looking in the mirror and being unhappy with yourself, and you want to impact your relationship with yourself, then there's content there. And you can work on building your self-esteem. You can work on drawing on your strengths and feeling better about who you are. There's that very tiny relationship with you and yourself that impacts everything else. When you talk about Spaceship Earth, that's the idea of wanting to make a change, either in land use, in your community, helping people who protect animal rights. It's vast. And what I've done here is give kids a place where they can connect with organizations and other young people who are already part of the solution. That's the empowerment part. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. There are already people out there who are doing the right thing and making amazing positive impact on the planet and on their communities. And if you're one of those kids who's got a fire in their belly to do the right thing and to make a difference, then the Insight is a place to connect to with those organizations.
And as I look through the section on Spaceship Earth, it's the site is www.theinsite.org. It's very interesting. Just the menu for this one small section has, I think there's 9 little sections that they can go into. And there's different areas, and I think there's different areas for different age development. That's the feeling that I get, but I just clicked on here, 10 simple things to save the earth.
Uh-huh.
Just simple things that, recycle glass, aluminum cans, cut up those six-pack rings so that the fish or animals don't die from that. Saving water, while we shampoo, wash our hair, rechargeable batteries. And it's very empowering. I think it's empowering for adults, but it's also empowering especially for adolescents that want to do the right thing, and we want to teach kids that they do have the power to make changes, that they're just not observationists or they're just not playing a role, that they can actually make things happen and change things. There's another section here for our listeners, political activism, where you talk about a gentleman who, when he was high school, became a teen hero of the environmental movement. I think it's very, very empowering, and it's very, you give them the tools. You go through the example, mm-hmm. and then you say, well, you see, it can be done, and this is how you start. Talk to friends. Find out who has the power to make the decisions. It's very empowering. It's very a very refreshing website.
Thank you. Well, when you mentioned the section in my stress book about take it out into the real world, that's really what I'm all about. I'm an extraordinarily practical woman who wants to make sure that every time I have an encounter with a kid, either online or in a school, that they go away with something they can actually use today to make a change in their lives. And it really did start on the inside. It didn't seem to make any sense to me to just post a whole bunch of information and then the kids are left with, yeah, well, what do I do next? So I tell them what they can do next.
Well, absolutely. I think it helps them focus. I think a lot of times adolescence is a time of being unfocused. Mm-hmm. Their kids today are bombarded with so much from the media and so many negative things that they feel that, they need to focus. They need to see that there's positive things that they can do, that they can actually empower themselves to do. And I think that's the other thing, too, that teenagers want. They want to be empowered. They want to become adults. They want to make a difference.
That's right.
And if we just bombard them with negative messages and we don't have positive things like your website, they become unfocused, or they become focused on things that are bad and they make bad decisions. This is a very interesting website. You also talk a little bit here. You have a gallery where kids can write in and talk about their own examples.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a very labor-intensive website. It looks, you have a teen editorial board members, and how many people help you out with this website?
Well, the teen editorial board board no longer exists.
Okay.
It's just me and my husband.
Okay.
But the truth is that this content was developed pretty much over a 1 to 1.5 year period. And while what's being updated always is the Hey Terrorist section because the new letters and my responses to them come in, the rest of it really hasn't been updated in a while. So it's all timeless, which is what's so cool about it.
Mm-hmm.
We make sure that all the links to external sites are functioning. But boy, you know, I might take a sabbatical sometime and just add a whole bunch of new content to this site.
Now, I do notice here that you do have a teen chat room.
Not any longer.
That's, not any longer?
No. At some point when the insight, in the first several years, we actually had, it's going to blow you away, 14 hours a day of hosted topical chats for teens.
Wow.
Because we had kids in Australia and kids in the UK, and, you know, we had, to answer your question, we had 70 chat room hosts who were trained, and they moderated the discussion. It was fantastic. We brought in substance abuse counselors. We brought in public educators from Planned Parenthood. So they were weekly slots, and the chat was chat worth logging in for, I'll tell you that. It was great. Obviously that took an awful lot of infrastructure, and we don't do that anymore, but maybe someday we will continue or turn it into what you're doing and you know, turn it into like web radio.
Well, there's a lot of positive things on the website, and the websites are www.theinsight.org, and they can chat with you at heyterra.com.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to thank Annie again today. And for questions and comments, they can be sent directly to heyterra.com.
Or to anniefox.com.
Or to anniefox.com. Or to me at emergykids@aol.com. I'd like to thank our listeners for being with us today. The hour went by very quickly. There was a lot of other things I would have loved to chat with you, Annie, on.
I'll come back.
Okay, great. And I'd like to thank our Alexian producer, Matt Wakely, and our listeners for being with us today on Growing Up in America. Hopefully we've made America a little bit better to grow up in today, and we'll see you next week when we'll talk again about the perils of adolescent drug abuse with Dr. Tim Erickson, a professor of emergency medicine at the University of Illinois. Until next week, be well. I'm Dr. Charles Nozika for Growing Up in America Today.
Thank you for listening to Growing Up in America. To contact Dr. Nozika or one of his guests about the show, email him at emergykids@aol.com. That's emergikids@aol.com. Or call 847-385-7176. Tune in next Tuesday for another hour of Growing Up in America with Dr. Charles Nozika.